Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Oh, let me do that again. How's everybody doing today? Doesn't it feel good to be in the church today? Our worship team just blow me away all the time. Can we give them a big hand for leading us in the worship? Well, hey, my name is Jason Daly. I'm the Activate pastor here at Grace Assembly of God. And what that simply means is my passion and my purpose is to help you get involved here at Grace. So I really love doing that. But hey, I've been given the opportunity this morning to finish out this boundary series. And so I'm excited about that. How many has learned so much over the last 5 weeks? Yeah, we have talked about boundaries with sex. We have talked about boundaries with our kids, boundaries in marriage. Last Sunday, we talked about boundaries in social media. Well, today, we are going to talk about boundaries with money. And I promise you, we are going to have fun this morning, okay? Because for you that know me, I can never be serious. And so we're going to be doing a lot of laughing. Is that okay? One of you. Great. Okay. Before we jump into this, I want to go to our key verse in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It says this, when people do not accept divine guidance, what does the scripture say? They run wild, but whoever obeys the law is joyful. If you will take what we have learned over these last 5 weeks, apply them to your life, you will have joy in your life because God wants to give you the best of the best. And that takes us to our big idea. Our big idea says God provides boundaries for us in both his commandments, God's word, and in our convictions. And what this means is it will provide for us and it will protect us. How many are thankful for the provision and the protection of Jesus Christ? I'm very thankful for it. Well, I want you to know when it comes to money, it's very important that we have boundaries in our life. All the teenagers that are here, all the young couples that are getting ready to get married, I want you to really listen to me because it's very important because as our scripture says, we don't want you to run wild. Well, another reason why we want boundaries with money is because we don't want you to become like this. So watch this video.
What can I tell you about Benjamin? Our friendship started out great. When I was a kid, I only saw him every now and then. But as I got older, he came around more and more. And that was great too. Until he started to sort of take over.
Yo, man, get up, man. It's time to go to work, man. What you doing in the bed? Get up, lazy bones. Go. Hey, I don't grow on trees.
Come on, man. Time to earn me up some homies, baby.
None of us can live without him. But for me, things really got out of control.
Toasty O's? Man, you bought generic. We are not Toasty O kind of people. What if the neighbors see this in your trash? We are Cheerio folk, Fruity Pebbles, Frankenberry, Pop-Tart folk, man.
When he took over, nothing was ever good enough.
Why didn't we get the movie package? Why didn't we get the movie package? Would it have been too much fun? Too majestically awesome to have a universe of entertainment at our fingertips? Fingertips, baby.
Almost every piece of mail I got was for him.
Hello, little babies. Pre-approved, just how I like you.
Ooh, Circuit City.
I can get lost in here.
It's like my whole life was about serving him.
You missed a spot. Oops.
I began to worry about him all day.
Yeah, man, I know you at work and everything, but some guy from collections, he keep calling here.
I tell him I only speak pesos, though.
No comprendo repo, senor? Yeah, groserías.
And all night.
Yes, I'd like to order the Turbo Floss 9000 Rapid Gum Care System. And by any chance, do y'all have any of those bedazzlers? Yeah. That was bomb, let me tell you.
I had to do something. I had to put him in his place.
Lord, man, where you been? I called you like about 50 times. Who's this guy? This better be the guy that's supposed to be putting in my jacuzzi.
This is Jim. He's a financial counselor.
It wasn't pretty. But Jim helped me get Benjamin under control.
Get in the savings chair.
Man, I ain't getting in no chair.
Be firm.
Get in the savings chair.
You know who I think I am. Hit him with the budget.
Man, that ain't doing nothing.
Oh, hey, man. Okay, this chair right here. I'm getting in it, man. I'm getting in it. All you have to do is stop, man. You have to say that, man.
It really works.
Now, things are different around here.
Hey, stop doing bills, man. What are you doing? Come on, man. Oh, my head. Whoa, it's me. It's feeling kind of faint. I need a cash advance, man. Come on.
Benjamin is working for me.
And remember, no TV until you earn some interest. I even have him working for the church.
Is my 10% up yet?
Not yet!
Show me the meat!
Yeah. Though that video was comical, how many know there's a lot of people living like that, living in that kind of situation? For many, money controls their lives, and money stresses a lot of individuals. And I'm sure this morning there are many of you here today that you need boundaries over money. Not only do we need boundaries with money, but how much more do our kids need to learn how to keep money in control? Y'all agree with that? Well, researching for this sermon today, I want to bring some statistics to you because I think after seeing this research, you'll be able to hypothesize that a lot of people live for today instead of tomorrow, don't they? Let me show you something here. 46% of Americans say they cannot afford a $400 emergency, stating that if they had to go through a $400 emergency, they'd have to finance it, sell something, or borrow something from friends and family. How many think that is pretty sad? And we all know that we will face emergencies, and it's always on the days when you're running late for work and you walk out and you have a flat tire. How many's been there? Well, we see here that 46% of Americans say they're not ready for that. Our millennials, those ages 18 to 34, they have a savings rate of a negative 2%. A negative 2%. Now, you start seeing this progression go down as each generation. Now, I want to show you this. Here's one of the reasons when it comes to credit cards. There are almost 1.9 billion active credit card accounts in the U.S., and across the 199.8 million cardholders, that's almost 10 cards per consumer. I'm sure that many of you in this room today have several credit cards, and we're going to talk about financial peace here in just a few minutes. But I remember when my wife and I went through this class for the very first time, the instructor said, "Who in this room has a credit card?" And you know me, I like to have a great time. I took my credit card out and says, "I have one." And you know what this fella proceeded to do? He walked over to me, took my credit card, took these big pair of scissors out of his pocket, and cut them right in half. I remember being on the floor crying, "No!" My wife said, "You should have never showed those to him." The next statistic I want to give you is, according to a survey done by CNN, 68% of Americans surveyed live from paycheck to paycheck. And we know that that happens a lot. And so we want to talk about why we need boundaries. The next one I want to give you kind of goes along with those that are retirement age. It says, according to the Federal Reserve, the median amount saved for retirement is less than $60,000. Now, when you see that, let's go to the next one. Because with close to 1 in 5 of those near retirement having zero retirement savings, it's no wonder that so many respondents, 40% of them, cited a lack of savings as their biggest financial regret. And then from that, another 36% people said they feared they would not be able to retire comfortably. How many can see we have a problem with money? It's all over the media. It's all over news. Our research here shows it. And you can just say, what's going on here? We put today ahead of tomorrow. And for some of us, we live from paycheck to paycheck. Well, we want to talk about why it's important that we get money under control. And I don't know if you know this, but in Scripture, did you know that money is written about more than any other subject in the Bible? As a matter of fact, there is over 2,000 plus verses dealing with money. And one of my favorite preachers, his name is Andy Stanley, he says it best when we learn about money. He says this: the reason why God has a lot to say about money has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with your devotion. God's main competition is not with the devil, but it's with your stuff. How many of you know when we wake up in the morning, it's not whether we're going to serve God or the devil. You would need another sermon if that was something that you go through. It's always whether or not are we going to serve God, or are we going to put our stuff in its place? We all deal with it. Well, before we get into some commandments, I want to show you what God has to say about money, some hard sayings, so that we can get the context set. How many know the Bible and you read about Solomon? How many's ever heard of King Solomon? Well, for you that may not know, King Solomon was one of the wisest and wealthiest men in the Bible. The scripture says that there will be no other man like him. I know for me, growing up in the church, that was always my prayer. Lord, make me like Solomon. Give me his wisdom. But we know that there will be no other person like him. But look what he says about money. He says in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10, now this guy has everything. He says, whoever loves money never has what? Enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. The amazing thing about this is Solomon had everything he could ever want. And yet he's telling us today in 2017, those that love money never have enough. And we see it every day when you see celebrities, you see it every day when you see athletes. They have everything they can possibly want, but they still cannot find peace and happiness in their life. And we all know people, maybe in this room, you're one of these people, or maybe you know a family member who's running through life trying to obtain all they can when it comes to money, and yet they can never find peace in their heart. They're trying to find the next big thing. I don't know about you. It would drive me crazy. It would wear me out. But Solomon tells us, those that love it will never be satisfied. In Matthew 6, verse 24, look what Jesus says here. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now here, let me just say something this morning. God is not wanting you to be poor. He's not wanting you to not have money. He knows you need stuff. He knows you need clothes. He knows you need food. But here's the thing he wants us to get clear. Our devotion should be to him only. He is the only one that can bring the provision. He is the only one that can bring the satisfaction that we need in our life. Nothing in this world can bring you happiness other than Jesus. Are y'all with me on that? In 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, now this is the major verse that you always hear when people talk about money. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith. They've wandered from the faith and pierce themselves with many griefs. How many in this room can say, you know what? I know what that verse is saying because I have been there personally. Has anybody been there? I don't know about you, but I don't want to wander away from God. But from these verses above, we can see that God wants our whole heart and our complete trust in him to take care of us. In each of these verses, one can see that money, wealth, and stuff cannot bring us complete joy and satisfaction. As a matter of fact, what does Solomon say in Ecclesiastes? He said they will never be satisfied. And I'm sure this morning there are many who struggle with being content with what we have. If there's one piece of advice I could give to every teenager, to every young man and woman who's getting ready to get married, is to be content with what you have. Last Sunday, Pastor Tim talked about social media, and he said that so many times, well, first of all, how many thinks it's great when so many people put their whole life on Facebook? Well, it's not great, but it's kind of like, wow, why do you do that? But there's been times you see people on these vacations, you see these people that they're renovating their houses, and they're doing all these amazing things. I just bought a new boat, or I have this. How many's ever opened that up, and you saw that, and you're like, man, I wish I could have that. Has that ever been you? I'm going to raise my hand. But here's the point of it. We never know the full side of the story. You don't know that maybe to go on that vacation, this family had to refinance everything just to go to Disney World or to buy that boat or to have what they have. You don't know what they had to give up. As Pastor Tim so eloquently said last Sunday, you don't know the rest of the story, right? And so my point this morning is to encourage you is that you need boundaries in your life because God knows that money can take your contentment, your commitment, your heart away from you like nothing ever before. It can lead to areas of frustration, depression, and heartache. And so God wants to say this morning, put him first. The scripture teaches us in the Bible, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will what? Does anybody know? Be added to you because God knows what you have need of. Now, let's transition now into some commandments that we find about money in Scripture. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it's there in your notes, it's here on the screen. The Bible says, do not store up for yourselves what? Treasures on earth, where moths and vermins destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Then it goes on to say this, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermins do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, what does the scripture say? that's where your heart is also. Now understand, God's not saying money is wrong. God is not saying you can't have wealth and you can't have stuff. But what God is saying, your treasure needs to be in him. Your treasure needs to be in heaven, because all this stuff will pass away. I'm sorry if you just bought that boat. It's gonna be old in a couple years. I'm sorry if you just bought that brand new dress. You're gonna have to replace it sooner or later. But here's the point. Don't find happiness in that stuff, because the Bible says where your treasure is, there's your heart also. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, look at this command. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be what? Be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's why we need to be thankful every day for the things that we have. I want to give you something here. Just write this down. Here's a little tip for you. In the morning, when you get up, before you get out of bed, I want you to start thanking God for everything that you have. Can you do that? All of a sudden, when you're thankful for everything that you have, your whole day changes. Because you no longer care what these other things that maybe the devil wants you to have or what the world wants you to have. You start becoming grateful for what you have. And here's the thing. Husbands and wives, be thankful for who you have, because God put you together, because there's probably no one else that can take care of you like your mate. You understand what I'm saying? Be content with what you have. Here's the great thing about you followers of Jesus. God promises us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So as a follower of Jesus this morning, God will always take care of us. He won't give us everything that we want, but he will always be there to see us through. Are you thankful for that as a follower of Jesus? Amen. He'll provide for us. Now, Malachi 3 verse 10, this is our highlight scripture when we talk about tithing a lot. The Bible says, this is a command, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be no room enough to store it. So many people after the 9 a.m. service came to me and told me story after story how God has provided for them. Things that we can't even explain. Things that our mind can't even wonder. How did that happen? Story after story. When we give to God and we allow him to be our provision, when we allow him to be our protection, God will bless us in ways that will knock the socks off your feet. Isn't that good? And so we're going to talk about that. But God shows us in these commands that money and stuff will not bring true happiness. Further, these verses establish convictions with money. And we're gonna provide these convictions here in just a second. But I wanna say something in this room today. There are two groups of people. Everybody say two. There are spenders and savers in this room. And I'm not gonna ask you to show your hand, or I'm not gonna embarrass anybody. So what I'm gonna do, as a pastor, I'm gonna lay myself on the altar of sacrifice. Is that okay? At this point, I'm gonna invite my wife to come up here. Come up here, baby. Oh boy. My girl. This is my awesome wife, guys. I love her so much. Come on up here. What was I supposed to do? Okay, anyways. Yeah, you've got me all messed up. I'm all Twitter paid it. Okay, anyways. I want to tell you all, before I get into our stories, I want to tell you, you need to pray for this woman, okay? One reason why you need to pray for her is because she has to put up with me every single day. And I don't want to hear any amens out there, okay? One of the things I told her even before we got married is we probably will never be wealthy. And why, Miss Amy?
Because if we ever had money, he would give it all away.
In our marriage, I'm the spender, she's the saver, okay? And so let me just tell you, when we first got married, it wasn't like that. We were both spenders. And so the first few years of our marriage, we thought we had to have everything our parents had. And guess what happens when your parents have been married over 30-something years and they have worked hard for everything that they have? You just don't instantly get things that they have in 1 or 2 years, right? And so I remember one day coming home from my job, pulling into the driveway, and there's Amy sitting out there with tears running down her face with her dad. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh no, what did I do now? But I remember walking up there and her dad began to share with us, and she began to say, hey, we have spent way more than what we are bringing in. How many think that's a problem? So let me just say a tip to all you young people that are getting ready to get married. You're not gonna have everything your parents had at the beginning of your marriage. You're gonna have to work hard to get what your parents had. And let me just say this. It's okay to sit on a milk crate for the first few years of your marriage. It's okay, okay? But I remember one of the things as a pastor, divorce always happens in two reasons, okay, for a man and a woman. It usually comes down to two things, sex or money, okay? And if you want to know more about that, you can listen to the Boundaries series on sex. You can go watch it online. But here's the thing. I'm so thankful that my wife said, you know what, Jason? We're going to work this out, and we're going to get ourselves together, and we're going to work hard to get out of this situation. So she stuck with me, and we worked hard, and we were able to get out of the mess that we got ourselves into. It took us a few years, didn't it? But one of the things that we did, we joined this class called Financial Peace University, all right? And we went there, and we learned so much stuff about how to save money. As a matter of fact, here on Friday nights here at Grace, we have that class that's going on. Adam is standing up there, wave your hand. He's waving his hand right there. He's leading that class. It's an awesome class. Miss Amy still carries the envelopes around, and she says, nope, we can't do that or whatever. She gives me my allowance every week. Gives me allowance, you know. The thing that's happened with her is at this point in our marriage, she has become the saver. Let me explain it this way. How many's ever watched the movie Sound of Music? You guys ever seen that? You know that part where the dad comes walking in and he's blowing the whistle, and here comes the kids marching in? That's what she does to us every single night at my house. She blows this whistle and the whole family has to march down the stairs and we have to give an account for everything we spent that day.
That is not true. That is not true. Okay, but I have to explain. This man would give every penny away that he has. He is very generous. He has a very generous heart. Back when we were first married, because you could get a pizza delivered to your house for $8 back then, which you can't do now, but he gave a $12 tip on our $8 pizza.
Okay. Anyways, hey, come here. Come here. That was not in the notes.
I'm sorry.
All right?
Neither was I'm a whistleblower.
Well, anyways, where was I? Don't say that. That's embarrassing. I didn't know. I was misinformed on the information, okay? But anyways, here's the thing. Even though we've got ourselves out of the situation, I still have my tendencies. About 2 years ago, I was out with my good friend Ethan and Kevin, and we were at the firearm store, okay? And for you that don't want firearms, that's a gun store, okay? And so I walk in, and I'm walking by this open thing here, these guns were sitting out there, and all of a sudden, this weapon began to say, Jason, you need me. I'm standing there, says, I know, I need you. And to make matters worse, my buddies, who are followers of Jesus, who are supposed to keep me accountable, said, if you're the man of the house, you will buy that gun. Now, that's peer pressure, okay? Followers of Jesus, men of God, who's supposed to keep me accountable. I'm sitting here, I'm warning myself, oh, she's going to blow that whistle and I'm going to have to give an account for everything I did today. Well, guys, I wish I could tell you that I walked away. I bought that weapon. It wasn't 10 minutes. And my phone rings. I knew the number. I answered and I said hello, and the only thing I heard was this breathing. I did what any good husband would do. I said, who is this? And the voice said, I am Legion, for we are many. No, it wasn't like that. I know my wife was doing her very best as a pastor's wife. In respect to her pastor, now listen, I know that you're thinking I'm perfect, so don't pass out, okay? Just hold on. And I know that there was so many things that she wanted to say. So let me put it in context like this. I grew up in a pastor's home, all right? I have two brothers and one sister. And how many of you know in a pastor's home, you've got to be perfect, all right? But I always remember we always drove my mom crazy. And it was at those moments we'd get my mom all worked up. She'd be walking around the house, I can't believe you little aliens are acting like that. You're supposed to be pastor's kids acting like this. And you didn't come from me. You're all from your father. I don't know where this come from. And it was always in that moment when she's getting worked up, the phone would ring. And then she would be, oh, I just can't believe. Hello? Oh, yes, Sister Mildred, God is good. And the whole time she's trying to say the right thing, she's doing this. Oh, yes, Sister Mildred, let me tell you what the Lord says today. How many of you had moms like that? Okay, think about that, all right? This is her. I'm with my Christian buddies. And I know she don't want to say the wrong thing. So in this really gripped lip, she says, you bring that gun home, I might use it on you.
I plead the fifth. I may or may not have said that. Okay, I said it. But it wasn't about the fact that he had bought a gun. It was about that he had spent this large sum of money without any discussion, without us talking about it, without any agreement on that.
So I learned my lesson that day. Any big expenditures or purchases, you got to talk to the wife first. However, she let me keep the gun because I'm the man of the home. Oh,
Actually, he's really lucky. I probably didn't know how to use the gun.
Okay, you're leaving. All right. Give her a big hand. I won't tell you I have three now. But anyways, here's the point in that story. My brother's from Louisiana, right? He's my twin brother. I don't know if you knew I had a twin brother. He's a worship pastor in Louisiana. And so every time he comes up here, he wants to go to the shooting range, right? And so we go there, and I'm going there. At that time, I had my first gun that almost got killed with it. But anyways, we discussed that. I go in there. I'm like, yeah, I'm all awesome. I set that up there to get ready and all that. Here comes my brother. He has an arsenal. He lays her all the way across. And so now the pressure is real again for me because I've got to have an arsenal too. And babe, it's for our protection. I got to protect you. All right. But anyways, even for Pastor Jason, who's a spender, I've got to have boundaries on money. And like many of you, I make some pretty dumb choices still, all right? But here's the thing. We're working through this together. And through Financial Peace University, we were able to learn to get ourselves back on track. And so now I want to go into some convictions. Can we talk about some convictions here real quick? Some convictions that we read from Scripture, some convictions that I have learned in my journey being married to my wonderful wife and all these things. The first conviction that we live by as a family is this. Give to God first before money is given to anything else. One of the things that we do is we do the automated giving here at Grace. And listen, I want you all to understand, the heart of our pastor is pure. The heart of all these pastors are pure. Our goal is to see this community change with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen, I want to encourage you and let you know, there's nothing we want in your money, because here's the deal. We give of our own money as well. I tithe 10% of what I have as well. Because here's the thing we want all of you to understand. We want you to be blessed of God. Not only do we give as a family, as my wife and I, but we're teaching our children to give as well. And I want to tell you, in my lifetime, I have never one time seen God forsake us. He has always provided in every area of our life. Let me just share a few. I remember when we first were married, our house was like 900 square feet. You could walk in the front door, fall out the back, all at the same motion. It's like, hello, bye. You know. But God always provided for us. I remember one time getting ready to go to work. I was this young guy. I'm excited. We're married, all these things. I walk out and the gutter's laying in the front yard. How did that happen? I don't know. At that point, I'm still learning how to do all these things. And I remember being all bummed out going to work. Oh, man, how am I going to get this done? I don't even know anything about gutters, all these kind of things. I remember getting home that night and the gutter was back on the house. Some of you say, oh, that's coincidence. Your dad or your father-in-law did all that. Here's the point. It was back on the house. And God, I believe God took care of that for us. I never knew who did that. But here's the point. God always took care of it. I remember one time we were young and I didn't know if we were going to have Christmas. I mean, we had some bills come up and we're getting ourselves out of our mess and all these things. And I remember I said, well, this year the kids are going to get one or two gifts this year. And like, how are we going to get this? And I remember there was a knock at the door. And I'm like, who in the world can this be? You know, because as a pastor, you got to be dressing the part and all that. And I still have my shorts on and stuff like that. And, you know, I go to the door and I look out. There's no one there. I open the door and right there on our screen door was this envelope that was just taped to the door. So I go out and I'm looking around. There's no one out there. I take the envelope out, open it up. There was $650 in there. And we were able to give our kids Christmas that year. I can't explain it. But God has always provided for our family. He's always provided in our jobs. He has always provided with everything that we do. I can't explain it. Are we wealthy? No. Will we ever have it all? No, because I would give it all away. And I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry. But here's the point. Here's the point. God has not one time let the Daily family down. I can tell you story after story. And the amazing thing, as I already said, at the 9 a.m. service, so many people came to me and said, let me tell you my story. Let me tell you what God did here. Let me tell you this. And I'm just sitting here thinking, oh, if I could just record all this so everybody can hear it. But here's the first conviction of our home. You have to decide if it's going to be your conviction. But our conviction in the Daily home is we will give God first before anything else. Because when we give God first, he blesses us in every other area of our life. And it's living proof in our home. Right, sweetheart? So I want to encourage you, make sure you give God. Now, let's go to the second conviction that we have. Now, Adam, you're probably going to see some Financial Peace University convictions that helped us. But here's the thing. You have to have a savings. You have to have savings. We're all going to experience something in the future where it's going to get us all worked up and we need to have the money so that we can get through it. One of the things that Financial Peace teaches us is that you need to have a $1,000 emergency fund. Oh, how am I going to do that? Well, you know what? Stop getting cheeseburgers at McDonald's, all right? Give up something. Here's the thing. For all you teenagers and all you young guys getting ready to get married, you have to work for what you have. If you want it, work for it. Adults, you that still can't get this figured out, you have to work for what you have. Men, you watching online, you got to get a job. One of the things that we try to do is the 10-10-80 principle. Has anybody ever heard the 10-10-80 principle? You save 10%, or you give 10% to God, you save 10%, and you live on the 80%. Now, if you can get that down, that would be awesome. But one of the things that we try to do is we take care of God first, but we also take care of ourselves. That can be life insurance, whatever it is that you want to put this 10% into. Savings, put it into savings. You young married couples getting ready to get married, put it into savings. But then live on the 80% of everything else, okay? This is one thing that we have tried to apply in our life. One of the things I want to tell you, in your resources section of your notes, there's some things there. There's this one called Feed the Pig. And don't that sound funny? Feed the Pig. And what this is a program that will help you if you're saving for something. If you're saving for a vacation, you can start putting money in that, and all of a sudden it starts showing how all of a sudden the pig gets filled. Isn't that pretty awesome? See, I'm a visual guy. I got to see it, okay? I want to see the pig get filled, right? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, anyways. But anyways, live on the 10-10-80 principle. That's what we do in our home. We try to do our best for our savings. We're teaching our kids these things. And so number three, our third thing is this. You have to have a budget and you have to stick with it. I enforce that because that's what my wife tells me. You've got to stick with it. But anyways, you got to have a plan. There's so many people going around without a plan. They're just living day to day. Have a plan. Know where you're going. The Bible even says, how can you sit down and go to war if you don't first understand what you're up against? Or if you're going to build a tower, do you not first sit down to see if you have enough money to be able to do that? One of the things that we have done as a family since we've been married is we go on a big vacation every other year. And in the off year, we'll do stuff with our kids and have fun and do things like that. But we're saving up for the next year. Because listen, when you were in the situation that we were in when we first got married, We had to open our eyes and get smart, didn't we, babe? We had to get smart. And now that's kind of been built into us to help us so that we never get into that situation again. So we have a budget and you've got to stick with it, okay? Are y'all with me? Y'all still love Pastor Jason? Okay, good. All right, let me show you this one. Number four, don't spend it if you don't have it. Don't spend it if you don't have it. That's why you go back to having a plan that you live by every day, knowing where you're going, a vision, a mission of what you're up against. Now listen, many of you young people, some of you are getting ready to graduate and go to college. Start right now. I would encourage you to go through Financial Peace University and learn how to become a millionaire, because you can learn it in that class. I go back and I wish I would have been younger. I took that class and understood all the things that it was teaching. It's by Dave Ramsey. How many's ever heard of Dave Ramsey? I would encourage you, come and talk to Adam up there. Come on Friday nights and be a part of that. Just jump in. Get smart with your money. You got to have boundaries on it. So don't learn to say no. That's the biggest thing I want to encourage everybody in this room. Learn to say no. It's okay to eat bologna. It's okay to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I think those first few months, we were eating soup and all that kind of stuff. I couldn't take it anymore. Okay? But anyways, it all adds up, okay? One of the things I want to show you also in your notes, there's this thing called Mint. There's some apps there. One's called Mint. How many's ever used MyFitnessPal? Anybody ever used that? You're keeping track of all your calories, right? Ooh. Keeping track of all those calories. Well, the Mint is the same idea. Everything you spend on, you drop it into your phone, and it shows you at the end of the day, at the end of the month, how much you have spent. An analysis, it gives you an analysis of everything you spent your money on. Use these tools. Their tools are there. And it's so funny, I'm telling you all these things, and Pastor Tim spoke about social media last week. Praise God. All right. I'm starting to laugh here because now this is my wife's. Number five. If married, no major purchases without complete agreement. Oh, I heard someone say amen to that back up there. This is the one thing that we live by. We want our marriage to be strong. And so together we make these decisions. I believe Pastor Wayne and Tracy said it in there when they were together talking about boundaries in marriage. What did they say? You remember that? They said, give it 24 hours. Talk about it. Think about it. Can this work for us? Well, is this something that we really need? Because the majority of the time, how many of y'all know we buy it and then we're not happy with it? Yeah. Or as soon as we buy it, the newest, latest edition comes out the next day. You know, like our iPhones, right? Oh, I've got to have that iPhone 6. And as soon as you get it, iPhone 7 comes out. Come on, people, stop, you know? It's like, quit doing these things to me. It drives me crazy because I'm the spender. I got to have it, right? No, I've got that under control now. I want to tell you, I got that under control. But here's the thing. Make sure if you're married, you're in complete agreement. Can all the married couples say amen to that? All you couples getting ready to get married, make this a conviction in your marriage, all right? All right, number six, we're almost done. Y'all with me? We're almost done here. Number six, have a plan toward the future. Have a plan toward the future. Financial Peace University helped us a lot with this. There's so many tools out there. There's so many books out there. How many of you have Right Now Media? The church gives that away for free. All you got to do, jdaly@graceassembly.org, send me your email. I will send it to you. It is the Netflix of Christian material. That means if you get on there, you'll have all this material. There's kids sections on there. There's a place called Finances. You can learn about all there is, everything that's out there about finances, Christian finances. One of the things I would tell you is Crown Financial, and then, of course, Financial Peace. You can look at all this stuff. But here's the thing. How many of y'all, your parents and your kids are getting ready to graduate and go to college? Raise your hand. Listen, you got to plan for those things. There's a college fund that you can look into. You can start putting money toward that. There's so many tools out there. I want to encourage you, don't be ignorant. The Bible says without vision, people perish, right? That's why we're talking about boundaries. That's why we need to get control of it. There's information out there. There's retirement. How many here wants to retire? You want to work for the rest of your life? Get it together, brothers and sisters. Get it together, Pastor Jason. You don't need those guns. Okay. Anyways, I want to retire someday. My daughter's getting ready to get married here in a couple months. We're planning for that. Oh my goodness. I wish some of you would have told me what married weddings are going to be like. Oh my goodness. But the point is, we all go on vacations. We all do these things. But here's the point. God says, be in control of it. Be the master of it. Don't let it master you. Can we all agree with that? And then the last conviction that our family lives by is this. If you handle money right, it will be a small part of your life. If you handle money right, it will be a small part of your life. If you handle money wrong, it will become a huge part of your life. And how is that a conviction? Because listen, when you've walked in those shoes and you're like, how are we gonna do this? How are we gonna get ourselves out of this? And you have to work those extra hours and you have to do that extra job. It gets old real fast, okay? And so I want to tell you, make sure you're in charge of your money and your money's not in charge of you. Is that good? Well, I want to encourage everybody in this room. We have learned about a lot of boundaries. And here's the great thing about even the boundaries with money. No matter where you're at in the room this morning, if you're in a place and you're like, I just don't see how I'm going to get out of this, I want to tell you, you can get out of it if you will stay disciplined. Listen, we are living proof of this. You can get out of it, but you've got to work hard to get out of it. Listen, if you're here and you need boundaries with your kids, I would encourage you to go back and watch the sermons that Pastor has preached. Put these boundaries in your life. Because remember the big idea? If you have boundaries in your life, you will be protected and God will provide for you. And the scripture says, if you don't have these boundaries, you'll run like wild horses. I don't want to run like that. As a matter of fact, I'm too old to run like that. But here's the point. God wants us to be smart. He wants us to be in control. And if we put God first and we do all these things that we're supposed to do through these boundaries, God will take care of you. And I'm living proof, as a pastor, my wife is living proof from our testimonies that God is able. So here's what I want to do. I want to pray for you, all right? So let's pray. God, I know money's not an easy thing to talk about. And God, I know that there might be people here that they just don't know what to do or they're frustrated. Lord, I know that there are several young couples here that are getting ready to get married. Lord, I just pray that you would just speak to them right now and let them know that this is something they don't have to be afraid of, but this is something they can take a hold of and be victorious over. God, I pray for those ones out here that are struggling, Lord. Maybe they just don't know what to do. I just pray, God, that you would give them peace right now and let them know that you can see them through. Lord, it might mean getting a mentor in their life. It might mean joining Financial Peace University. It might mean talking to somebody, a counselor. God, give them the courage to do that. Lord, let money never take your place in our life. I pray for every teenager in this room that you would bless them. And I pray, God, that they would take everything they have heard over these last 6 weeks, God, and allow them to apply it in their lives. For Lord, if they do these things, you will bless them and they will do great things for your name. So Lord, put your peace in this room right now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. With everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps you're here and you're saying, Pastor Jason, I don't know Jesus. And that's the first step. Perhaps you would say, man, I want to make it right today. I don't want all these things to be in control of my life. I want to make it right today. If you would raise your hand and say, Pastor Jason, just pray for me. No one's looking. Everybody's eyes are closed. But you would raise your hand and say, Pastor Jason, I don't know Jesus and the day I want to know him. Just pray for me. Go ahead and lift it up there if that's you. I see that hand up there. All right, I see that one. All right, I see that one. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray with me. And church family, can we pray together with these ones? I want you to repeat this prayer after me, all right? Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I know you came to die for me on the cross. And so, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of allowing all these things to take your place. I invite you to come into my heart right now. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me. I love you, Jesus, and I accept you as my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You that raise your hand, if that was you and you said, hey, I've accepted Jesus in my heart, I want you to go to the Next Steps tent, the white tent out in the hub. We want to give you a Bible and we want to help you on your next step journey. And so, Grace family, can we give all these ones that maybe prayed that prayer a big hand and welcome to the family of God?